From CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. California leaders often tout the state for being first on bellwether, even controversial issues. And in recent years, especially following the overturning of Roe v. Wade, the state has taken a leading role in reproductive care. A year ago, California expanded abortion access on campus, becoming the first state in the country to require that its public universities, all 33 of them, provide the abortion pill to students. But an investigation found there's a concerning disconnect, and that basic information on where or how students can get this medication is lacking or even non-existent. That investigation is from the public media station, LAist, and senior health reporter Jackie Fortier explains the consequences and what they have been to students. Good afternoon, Jackie.
Good afternoon.
This investigation is by you as well as your colleague, Adolfo Guzman Lopez, who also authored this article. What inspired the both of you to launch this investigation?
Well, Adolfo had heard through his higher education reporting just kind of some rumors that some of the universities weren't doing a very good job of letting students know that medication abortion was available on campus. And he let me know, and I said, yeah, we should definitely look into it. And then we started poking around, and I was pretty surprised at the lack of information online, on social media, really in a lot of these campuses, in any form, letting students know that it was available.
Mm. And the abortion pill is more of an informal way to describe a medication abortions. What mm-hmm. are medication abortions?
Yeah, so medication abortion, as you said, it's known as the abortion pill. It's the most common form of abortion in the U.S. It uses a combination of two federally approved drugs to end a pregnancy. It does not require a surgical procedure. Both of them are taken orally. The first pill is mifepristone, which blocks a hormone known as progesterone that the body needs for pregnancy to continue. The second drug, which is taken a day later, is misoprostol. It causes the cramping and bleeding and empties the uterus. Medication abortion is highly effective. And in 2021, it was used in more than half of abortions in the U.S. The FDA has found that, you know, when taken as directed, it's very safe and it terminates pregnancies in over 99% of the time. It is only used in California up until about the 11th week. So it's only in those first 11 weeks that it's available to patients.
So within the first trimester.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, this also comes at a time when, especially leading up to the overturning of Roe versus Wade, California really took a big step to say that they were going to be, you know, a sanctuary for people across the country who wanted to seek reproductive care, reproductive health, which includes the right to an abortion. Where does Senate Bill 24, which was the piece of legislation that this was named, which obviously became a state law, you know, mm-hmm. how did this come about?
Yeah, I mean, interestingly, this law was passed when there was still a federal constitutional right to an abortion. But as you said, that was overturned by the U.S. Supreme Court in 2022. But this law was passed in 2019. The Dobbs decision in 2022 made abortion access a state-by-state issue. And since then, you know, roughly a dozen states have basically banned abortions. In response, you know, California voters approved an amendment to the state constitution in 2022, protecting California's right to both abortion and contraception. So that means, you know, people in California have pretty broad legal protection to get an abortion in the state. But, you know, keep in mind, any federal change could overrule our state constitution. So if Congress passed a law restricting abortion nationwide, for example, it would still apply to California. But in regards to SB 24 passing, you know, I talked to former state senator Connie Leyva. She's the one who authored the bill. And she said that it was really about keeping people in higher education so that more women would graduate. We know from Education Department data that women who have children while they're in college don't graduate as at high of a rate compared to people who do not. Young men tend to still graduate even if they have a child while they're in college. So her focus was really on getting, you know, access to abortion available for students so that people could continue their education if they so choose.
When this became a state law, did public universities and colleges, did they actually really receive some funding to make this possible?
Yeah, this is one of the few times, right, when funding isn't an issue. California public universities got about $200,000 in private money to implement the law about a year ago. And that helps to pay for the medication itself, other associated costs. It can also be spent on outreach. And we found very few campuses are really letting students know that they have access to these medications. It can also be spent on training and on security upgrades. Some universities have spent quite a bit of the money. Others haven't spent a dime.
Wow. And well, you and Adolfo, you obviously, you know, anecdotally, you know, had something to go off to spark this investigation. When you actually looked at the data, what did you uncover?
Yeah, well, we found that at the time, it's actually changed a little bit since this was published, but we found that when we looked at all of the 33 university clinic websites, 12 of them didn't have any information on where or how students could get a medication abortion, or even that they offered it on campus. I looked through a lot of the campus's, you know, Instagram feeds, anything related to health services. Now, there are 33 campuses, so it was a lot of searching. A lot of them would promote their health center, but they wouldn't say anything specific about medication abortion. So I called the schools that didn't have any information on their website. And I got interesting responses, and I wasn't pretending to be a student. I just asked if they offered medication abortion. And some of them were very helpful and said yes, that they did. Others were, you could tell, pretty shocked that I was even asking. And many of the people who answered the phone didn't know and had to go find out. And they also weren't sure how much it would cost. So it was a really you know, disparate response when I tried to get answers just by calling. But since our investigation, Cal State San Bernardino has added medication abortion to its website after I interviewed their health clinic director. And then this week, Cal State Long Beach also added it to their website and a little bit of information. And then I actually found this morning that Sacramento State had added it to their website. And they must have added it in the last few days, because I looked just a few days ago, knowing that we would be talking.
Yeah, and I do know our healthcare reporter, Kate Wolf, had reached out to Sacramento State as well, you know, following your investigation for LAist. So what I'm learning from you, it's not just students who are unaware, but even in some cases, staff within these health centers. I mean, passing a bill and making it a law is one thing. I mean, I go back to college. I didn't know when new laws from one year to the next. I mean, outreach is pretty important. Were you surprised that there was not as much outreach, you know, especially given that each campus did get funding for this?
Yeah, absolutely. I was very surprised. I'm still surprised that there's such a lack of outreach. And, you know, California is duly very proud of its higher education system. You know, there's 33 campus clinics, and that's fantastic. But they have very different priorities. You can tell by looking at their materials. Some of them really stress mental health. Others really stress, you know, STIs. All of that's important, but it is also important for students to know what is available at their campus clinic. And I think that when I spoke with former State Senator Connie Leyva, you know, she mentioned that it was really difficult to get Cal State and University of California administrators on board with it. They were afraid of offering medication abortion. They were afraid of having any potential complications. They were afraid of protesters on campus. But again, each campus has access to $200,000 in private money, and part of that can pay for outreach. So, you know, the lack of movement on this is frankly kind of astounding.
Yeah. I mean, looking at both of those Cal States as well as UC campuses, I mean, it seems like now, from what I'm learning from you, is that the law was that public universities provide these pills, but it didn't actually require the campuses, the schools, to actually tell students about it.
Absolutely. And when I asked Senator, former State Senator Connie Leyva about that, who wrote the bill, she said that she was disappointed in how it had been implemented. But she said it didn't really occur to them that they needed to add that. They thought, well, if it passed, they were really focused on getting it passed. And she thought that universities would kind of let students know that they were fairly transparent about what services they offer at their clinics.
And we do have a soundbite from State Senator Connie Leyva, former state senator. Let's take a listen to what she told you.
I don't know that we ever talked about including something advertising, basically, that you could get a medicated abortion on campus. So it definitely wasn't ever taken out of the bill. You know, I would love to see someone who's still in the legislature take that up and make it a requirement that the schools have to provide the information so that the students know.
You know, writing policy is difficult, and often there are unintended consequences. I mean, could a possibility be that there was just oversight when writing this legislation, not thinking about it?
Yeah, and that's exactly what Leyva said, that there were unintended consequences. And she was really happy that it did pass. You know, medication abortion is being offered on all 33 of these campuses. But it seems like it was just kind of a gap that has been left. And in a lot of them, again, they still aren't letting students know. Another thing, too, that I want to bring up is that staff also doesn't know. So often, you know, students may not check the clinic website, sure, but they're not getting emails. They're not seeing Instagram posts. And students, you know, go through different campuses. They graduate. They're only there for a few years. Staff and faculty, though, who these students might go to if they're, you know, looking for information, if they're feeling vulnerable, they are also unaware. They haven't been told. I talked to many professors at different universities. Most of them didn't want to go on the record because they were afraid of any retribution from the school. They were extremely frustrated. They didn't know that the medication abortion was available. They had students who came to them asking where they should go, what they should do in these situations. And I had multiple professors tell me, I never thought to send them to the health clinic. I didn't know they offered that.
This ultimately trickles down to students. I mean, there's over 400,000 women that attend the state's public universities between the CSU mm-hmm. system and the UC system. I mean, do you have an idea of how many medication abortions have been provided on both of these campuses, UC and Cal States?
Yeah, there is a report that has to be done based on SB 24, which is the law. So we know that from the latest report, there were 365 medication abortions provided by the UC and CSU campus clinics within the first 6 months after the law went into effect. That also incorporates, technically it's a fiscal year. So it also, some of the schools offered it a little bit beforehand. But so 365 medication
abortions. Across 33 campuses.
Over the course of a year, yes. And there was a peer-reviewed study that was published in 2019 in a Journal of Adolescent Health that found that up to 519 women at public universities in California seek a medication abortion every month. So we're seeing a huge gap between what students are likely seeking and what is being provided on campuses.
And I know that you mentioned, you know, once your investigation published, you know, there have been additional public universities that have added some kind of language about offering medication abortion. Sac State is one of them. UC Davis also said ahead of that they provide information about medication abortions can be found on the Student Health and Counseling website. Are there mm-hmm. other public campuses that are an outlier in a good way when it comes to letting students know in terms of outreach that this is available to them?
UCLA has a pretty good website, but they also have a very dedicated group of students on campus that have tried really hard to let other students know that it's available. I have heard that Humboldt is taking into consideration students' voices, Cal Poly Humboldt, a little bit more. I think UC Davis does do a good job. They have a lot of information on their website. They don't just list medication abortion as a service. They also define what it is. They outline the steps and they say how students can get access. I mean, Sacramento State literally just added medication abortion. It's two words on their website. So it's, I mean, yeah, they have a little bit more information, but it's not fantastic.
I mean, and just having that information, I mean, is that can be easily found, and that's like in quotation marks. I mean, is that sufficient?
I mean, I don't think so. There's a lot of other public universities and there's a lot of other websites that they could even just link to. I mean, the California has its own fact sheet about abortion, and it defines the different types of abortion. I'm not real sure why these universities don't use any of that information or link to it at all, or even to the California Department of Public Health website, if they don't want to go through and write it themselves. I mean, many of them even have their own medical schools, and they don't link to anything there. I'm surprised that they don't even define what it is for students.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with LAS senior health reporter Jackie Fortier about a new investigation into the lack of information California's public universities and colleges are providing to students about medication abortions. When you actually spoke with students who had a difficult time getting access to a medication abortion and didn't even know that their campuses had them, what workarounds did they turn to?
Unfortunately, after being a health reporter for years and years, it's a similar story every time. People devote time, energy, money to trying to get the care they needed. I spoke with Deanna Gomez. She was a student at Cal State San Bernardino last fall. She found out that she was pregnant. She went to a couple different professors who I also talked to. None of them knew that medication abortion was available on campus. She ended up spending hundreds of dollars to get the care that she needed. She took over a month off of classes because she had to end up getting follow-up care, which jeopardized her December graduation date. She almost failed a class. Luckily, she didn't, and she graduated. But she was exactly the type of student that this law was supposed to help. She's a first-generation, college graduate in her family. And if she had been able, to get it on campus, it would have saved her time, money, and, it would have helped her GPA. She wouldn't have had all that stress of maybe not graduating.
Let's take a listen to what she told you.
If I had known that, I would have taken advantage of it. I think emotionally it would have taken a lot of stress off of me because I would have been on campus. I spent a lot of time driving around after work, switching schedules, putting my homework on the back burner.
I mean, and this is just one example, Jackie. I mean, you mentioned that women who have a child while attending college, I mean, statistically are less likely to graduate than those who don't. And Deanna chronicles this personally in a very intimate way.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, she was also, I mean, I worked while I was in college, but man, she works up to 60 hours a week at two jobs while taking a full class load. I mean, she's really trying to do her best to get through college. And again, luckily she did graduate. But this would have been so much easier on her if she had just known that it was available a few hundred yards away on campus. And when I told her that it was available, she was livid, to put it mildly. She was so upset. And that's one of the reasons why she was talking so fast in that clip. She was very upset to know that she could have had a much easier time to get the care that she wanted.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious because when you talk to some people, even if they didn't want to disclose their name because they didn't want retribution from the university, I mean, it's one thing to pass a law from lawmakers. It's another thing if people higher up at each campus, they actually are in favor of making abortion and abortion materials more accessible. Do you think that could have been one reason that some students at some campuses weren't informed and the outreach and information is kind of staggered from one public university to the next?
I think that speaking to people, I think a lot of folks at the university administrative levels are afraid of protesters on campus, which is interesting because I haven't been able to find any examples of protesters on campus, anti-abortion protesters, now that SB 24 is the law. There's also time, place, and manner restrictions on protesters on college campuses. You can't, protest and follow someone into a clinic or into class or around the dorm rooms. So that means that these students then who have to go and get care oftentimes have to go through protesters at, Planned Parenthoods, for example. So they have to put up with protesters, but it's not happening on the campuses because, again, very few people know that they even offer abortion pills to students who want them.
Hmm. Jackie, thank you for the investigation and your reporting.
Thank you for having me.
Jackie Fortier is a senior health reporter at LAS discussing their new investigation into California universities, which are required to offer students abortion pills. Their investigation found a lot of these campuses do not mention it. Up next, California's last resort to provide homeowners with fire insurance policies has been gaining popularity. And with popularity comes growing pains. We'll learn about the challenges with the FAIR plan. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.